everything. But as I grew up, I realized that it was not so. You can't buy everything with money. And rather we see, as we saw in this drama, that the more a person has, the more they want. Somebody has 10 crores, they want 100 crores. Somebody has 100 crores, they want much more. My maths is not good, so I can't go to units beyond that. But it's never ending. When we hear about fights between industrialist tycoons, they are multi-billionaires. So it never ends. So there is one story in the Srimad Bhagavatam which explains why this happens.
First slide.
So this is the story of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was the grandson of Arjuna, the son of Abhimanyu. Parikshit Maharaj was once taking rounds in his kingdom and he saw a very strange sight. He saw a very dark man mercilessly beating a bull and a cow. The bull was standing on one leg. And that one leg, that bull represented Dharma. And the cow represented Bhumi Devi. The four legs of Dharma, and now only one leg was left. There was austerity, there was cleanliness, there was mercy, and the last one was truthfulness. So Parikshit Maharaj was shocked. He came and he held his sword to that man's neck and said, "How dare you? In my kingdom, you are hurting the bull and the cow. Cow is our mother, bull is our father. How can you do this? I will kill you right now." So this man got very scared. He was none other than Kali personified. He begged of Parikshit Maharaj. He surrendered and he said, "Please forgive me and please give me shelter." Parikshit Maharaj said, "Okay, I forgive you, I won't kill you, but you can't stay here for more than a minute. Get away from here. Leave my kingdom at once, go somewhere else." As we can see in the picture. So this man, he said that, "You are the emperor. You are the emperor of the whole world. Where will I go? Wherever I go, it will be your Raj. Why not let me stay here? Give me a fixed place that I can stay. I promise you I will not go anywhere else." So King Parikshit said, "Okay, you can go to those places where people are engaging in illicit sex, where people are meat eating, where people are gambling, and where people are, what's the fourth one? Intoxication. These are the four principles that the devotees follow of not doing. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling." And Parikshit Maharaj gave Kali the permission. Jai Shishi Radha Gopina Shishi Gornita Shishi Gopaji Ki Jai. Parikshit Maharaj said, "You can go and stay in these places. Because wherever these things are done, Kali will predominate. It's his Raj." So Kali said, "Maharaj Parikshit, you have given me these four places. But when you are the emperor, who will dare to engage in these activities? That means again I am homeless. Please give me one more place." So at that time Parikshit Maharaj said that wherever there is hoarding of gold, wherever there is gold or hoarding of wealth, you can go and reside over there. So what does Kali stand for? Kali stands for quarrel, hypocrisy, cheating, dishonesty, dissatisfaction. That is why wherever there is too much wealth, and if that wealth is not being used in the Lord's service, because Lakshmi has to always be at the feet of Narayan. If Lakshmi is used for wrong purposes, then Lakshmi will not stay there. She will go away. So that is why even though somebody has a lot of wealth, there is no guarantee that they will be happy. In fact, most probably they will not be happy. This is a very beautiful saying. In fact, there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which describes this, that contentment is real wealth and luxury is artificial poverty. There is one verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which says that one who has good qualities, Next. Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, that my dear Uddhava, my dear friend, one who is enriched with good qualities, he is really wealthy. And one who is dissatisfied, one who is not content or one who is greedy for more, he is poor. Because how much ever he gets, it will not be enough. So what is real wealth? Real wealth is when we have a good character, when we have good values. Because then whatever we have, we will use prudently, we will use wisely, and it will be enough for us. Next. This is very familiar. Wanting, wanting. Woot. There are so many ads. A mother is wiping her son's hair and he is so restless that he pushes everything aside and he jumps to see the video that he wants to see. Somebody else is doing something else. What does this slide signify? That don't worry, whatever you want, one click and you get it. Everything is so easily available. Everything is so cheaply available. Whatever you want, you can get. Online shopping, online movies, whatever you want. And we think that when we get these things, we will be happy. But sorry, my friends, at the end of it, we will still be wanting, wanting. It never ends because it is like a fire. What is a fire? We put ghee in the fire. And what happens when we put ghee in the fire? The fire burns more. And then you put more. And then again it burns. And you put more. There is no end to it. So the advertisement industry is designed this way. There are top psychologists working so that by their advertisement, by their propaganda, they create unlimited desires. Things which you never used in your life. Now you will think that if I use this, I will become happy. It may be an advertisement for such a ridiculous thing as a razor, but you will find a very beautiful woman standing. That means if the man uses this razor, all beautiful women will follow him. What nonsense! But it's true. It happens. But what happens is that you buy that razor and you are still not happy. You get that dream house and you are still not happy. You get a car and you are not happy. And you wonder what's happening. There is a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Vamandev and Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj was the king of the three worlds. He defeated the demigods and he conquered all the three worlds. So the demigods approached Lord Vishnu and said, please help us. So Lord Vishnu took the form of Vamandev, a dwarf. And he came to the palace of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj respected him, honored him and asked him, that what can I do for you, O dear Brahmana? Because in those days, even demons respected Brahmanas. So, he said, what do you want? What can I do for you? So, Vamandev said, O king, just give me 3 steps of land. So, Bali Maharaj said, you are a small boy. You are not intelligent enough to know what you need and what you should ask for. 3 steps of land? Do you know who I am? I am the king of the three worlds. You could have asked for one entire planetary system. And what are you asking for? 3 steps of land. So at that time, Vamandev tells him a very, very beautiful thing. He says, my dear Lord, if one is not happy with what they have at this moment, they will never be satisfied. If I am not satisfied with these 3 paces of land, then I will not be happy even if I get the 3 worlds. It was indirectly a message to Bali Maharaj. He had already one system, planetary system that he was ruling. But yet he fought with the demigods to get more. So it is a symbol that one who has a lot will want more. There is no end to it. There is no end to desires. Next. That is why our scriptures tell us that actually one who has the power or control to limit his desires or limit their desires, they are actually powerful and they are called Goswamis or they are called Swamis and they are happy because they have learnt something that we will see in the next slide. They have learnt that the happiness comes from within. Happiness and satisfaction comes from within, not from outside. No external things can make us happy. In fact, the Bhagavad Gita and all our scriptures, they mention this, that happiness comes from within. The Bhagavad Gita actually stresses more on the process than on the result. When Lord Krishna, he tells Arjuna that karmanye vadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. Do your duty, O Arjuna. Don't worry about the result. So many of students of our country and many other countries commit suicide because they don't get good marks. Because they think that the result is everything. But actually, if we have worked hard, if we have put our best into it, that is our success. The success, as we see, next. The satisfaction is in the effort, not in the attainment. And if we have put full effort in whatever we are doing, then we have got full victory. So remember this. In any time in your life, when you have worked hard to get something, but you don't get it for some reason, because it is not necessary, we will always get what we want. But don't be disappointed. Don't be devastated. Don't think that now everything is finished. Oh, I am a failure. I am useless. No, you are not. Because you have done your bit. You have worked hard. And that is your success. Failure is when we stop trying. When we give up, we stop trying, then that is failure. People resort to suicide because they think that now we have nothing left in life to live for. But it's not like that. There are always so many other alternatives. We have to find alternatives in our life. Okay, this goes wrong, now what can I do? I can do something else and become happy. In fact, the small things in life make us happy. The big things, there has been research done on this. The big things do bring happiness, but it is temporary. There is an organization and top psychologists, they have done research and they found out that even if you get big things, not more than 6 months, maximum 6 months, the euphoria won't last for more than that. After that, everything seems to be normal. You get married. They say there is one hormone secreted called dopamine. So that is why the husband and wife, they are blind love with each other. After some time, the effect of that hormone wears off. And then they wonder, are maine isse shaadi kyun ki? So whenever we get anything, or we have a big house, or we have a big car, or we win a lottery, but we cannot remain eternally happy with that. Because these things are very superficial. These things are very, very external. As we saw in the earlier slide, that satisfaction and happiness only comes from within. We already mentioned that many times we are disappointed in our life because we don't get what we want. Generally, what are the things that you want as students or young girls? What are the things that you would want? You can answer. If I ask you right now, what is in your mind, that what do you think will make you happy? Tell me, it's already late. Fast, quick, few hands. You here, what's your name? Yeah, what do you think will make you happy? Making your parents happy. You? Your career? You? Green dress. Making parents. You all are very elevated people. Generally, people have goals. We want to earn 1 crore. We want to look very beautiful. If my hair is curly, I want to make it straight. If it is straight, I want to make it curly. If I have grey eyes, I want to put brown lenses. If I have brown eyes, I want to make it blue. If I am tall, I want to become short. If I am short, I want to become tall. If I am thin, I want to put on weight. If I am fat, I want to lose weight. Generally, what I don't have, I want that. Small children sometimes do that. They say, ye chahiye. Mother says, ye nahi, wo chahiye. Basically, they want to be dissatisfied. They have decided ki main kuch bhi karke, I am not going to be happy. So generally what happens is, we have certain expectations. I must get this to be happy. I must achieve this. I must get 95% marks. then only I will get admission in this college. And only when I get admission in this college, I will be happy. Right? Can you guarantee what marks you get? Can you guarantee which college you get admission? No. Then in relationships, we expect, she should behave like this with me. He should reciprocate in this way. He should help me like this. They should help me in this way. Can you guarantee? Can you control others? No. There is no guarantee that people will do what you want, when you want, the way you want. But we feel only when they behave like that, then we will be happy. And then we wish from life that the conditions in my life should be so favorable that I can achieve what I want. When I go on the road, there should not be traffic. When I come to Gopinath, I should get parking, which is next to impossible. But things don't happen that way. We don't always get what we want. So when I say, I must get, he should do this, she should behave with me like this, life should be like this for me, I am entering the danger zone. And what is that danger zone? Demands. When I have demands, I cannot be happy. Because if those demands are not met, I feel now it is the end of the world. Kya bacha abhi mere life mein? I did not get this much percentage. Now what will I do? It's okay. There are people with less percentage who are happy. There are people with less money who are happy. So unless we understand that these are not the things that make me unhappy, generally we blame others. I am disturbed because of her, you know. She behaved like this. Others, I am not the sort who gets angry. But she behaved like this, now I am very angry. So who is responsible for my anger? She. He. They. The traffic. The government. The weather. Indra Dev, Chandra Dev, Surya Dev. Everybody. Everybody except me is responsible. I am not responsible. My wife irritates me. My boss frustrates me. My children disobey me. What can I do? Bechara. Ya bechari. You know, everybody else is responsible for my misery. But that is not true. We may have expectation. It's nice if our expectations are met. It is not that we should not have any desires. We have reasonable desires which could be met. But supposing they are not met, it's not the end of the world. And if we demand, then we will get frustrated. How many of us can honestly say that we have always got what we desired, things always went the way we planned, and people always did what we want? Can anybody in the room honestly put up their hand and say that? Yet we want those things. Yet we want those things. So it is not possible, and honestly it is not good for us. Actually, one of the things of parenting, one of the rules of parenting is that we should not always give children, when they ask for something, we should not give them immediately. Because then later on in life, when they don't get what they want, they become very disturbed. Our Indian kids are very strong. They are used to. You wait, trains are late, buses not working. Huh? You are expecting 90, you get 40. You want 100 in maths, and you have not studied science, you get 148 in science, and in maths you get 100 out of 150. Means things don't happen the way you want. So one German person came to India, and then he saw how everything was functioning. He said, now I have faith that God exists, if this country can run. So our kids are actually strong, our youth are strong, because they accept, we accept actually, that even if things don't go the way we want, we can still be happy. Because there are so many other things in life. We think, nowadays by seeing movies, actually, we think that when we get good food, we get good clothes, we get a beautiful girlfriend or a handsome boyfriend, we can be happy. Please go out and do a market survey and find out. Somebody has a handsome husband, somebody has a beautiful wife, or they have good clothes to wear. Ask them, are they happy? No. Nobody is happy. Unless they have understood what are the principles of happiness, they cannot be happy. Next. So everyone wants happiness. No one wants pain. But you can't have a rainbow without a little rain. So if we say, I want only happiness, I don't want any disturbance. There should not be any distress in my life. That is just not possible. There are going to be problems. But we have a choice. And what is that choice? When the problem comes in our life, whether to get disturbed or whether to get devastated, that is our choice. When there is some problem, we may get disturbed. That's okay. But devastated, that means totally broken, that is our choice. And we have to make the right choice. If you see people who are really happy, you will find, next. Sorry, I missed one. That the happiest people, they may not have the best of everything, but they make the best of everything. That when something goes wrong in our life, instead of crying over spilled milk, aisa kaisa ho gaya, kyun ho gaya, kiski galti thi, instead of trying to make a like analysis and surgery, try to figure out, okay, now this happened. Now this avenue that I was considering is closed. I was going to do this, now this has happened, I can't do it. Now what? How to make the best of a bad bargain? What is the next best thing that I can do? If not this, then this. Okay, not this, then this. If you want to go to the temple room and that door is open, and when you walk till there the door closes, will you sit and cry or will you go and try to see whether any other doors are open? You can open other doors and go out, right? So we have to find other doors to happiness. We have to find other ways to achieve what we want, and then we can truly be happy. There is a story of the donkey. There was once a donkey and he fell into a dry well. And his master was trying to remove him, but he couldn't take him out. Then the neighbors came and they said, "Arre, is gadhe ko kyun nikal rahe ho? Kuch kaam ka bhi nahi. Isko dafna do. Bury him. Put sand over him and bury him." So the farmer said, "Okay." He was quite attached to a donkey, but he said, "I can't remove him, so might as well do it." So he started putting in mud. Everyone started putting in mud. So you know what the donkey did? Every time mud would fall on him, aise jhatakta tha. The mud would fall down, he would climb on the mud. Again mud would come, again he would do the same thing, climb on the mud. And by doing this, what happened? Gradually the level of mud increased. The donkey started coming up and he could come out of the well. So it is our choice. When somebody is throwing mud on us, or when things are not going our way, we want to get buried, go into depression, go into anxiety, blame people, get upset, cry, whine, stay in solitude, or climb on those problems and come out, figure out something, and to be happy. Actually, to be happy, we need very small things, as we will discuss later on. Go for a walk, observe the beauty of nature. Just being close to nature will make you happy. Mind becomes very peaceful when you see water bodies. Go and sit near the ocean. Go and sit near a lake. Don't jump in. So if you are going when you are disturbed, take someone with you. When I said jump, I remembered somebody was mentioned, I read a quote that if you have a very big house, but if you are not happy, you have a very opulent house, the only thing you will be looking for in that house will be a window to jump out of. So it doesn't make, the house doesn't make you happy. It is the inner satisfaction which makes you happy. Small things can make us happy. It is said, many times something goes wrong in our life and we wonder. We have heard about the laws of karma. Why do bad things happen to good people? We plan something, it doesn't go our way and we sit like this. I am good, I have never harmed anybody. You know, I am a very pious person. Then why did this happen with me only? Mere saath hi aisa hota hai. Mera naseeb kharab hai. Why do bad things happen to me? But there is a very beautiful quote which says, next. Ask not why bad things happen to good people. Rather, ask, what do good people do when bad things happen to them? What is the answer? Say, they become better, not bitter. Because people who are evolved, people who are wise, they know that failure is a stepping stone to success. Or difficulties can make us stronger. We can choose, we can learn our lessons from our difficulties and go ahead rather than whining, cribbing and complaining. So why is it that some people can do this and others can't? Why some people can implement these things of becoming better and not bitter, of learning lessons and going ahead, and why some can't? What are the things that they do? There's a simple principle. Those who are happy and successful are those who gracefully accept things that are beyond their control. They accept things that they cannot change gracefully. And they work hard. They focus on things which they can do. Most of the time, we waste so much time lamenting about things which we can't do that we even lose out on what we can do. Right? So this is a very beautiful prayer. Next. Which is sung in the Alcoholics Anonymous. That, oh God, give me the serenity to accept that which I cannot change. That is, things which are beyond my control. Give me the strength to do those things which I can do. And give me the wisdom to know the difference. How do we get that wisdom? That we will discuss later. To know, okay, this is something that I can change. So I do it. This is something that is beyond me. So I leave it. Let go. I was reading one quote in which the professor, he holds one glass like this. And after holding the glass for some time, he makes the students hold the glass. And they hold, each one holds a glass. And after some time he says, now do you feel that the glass is becoming heavier? Yes. Why is it becoming heavier? Because you are holding it for so long. Keep it down. So we hold all our grudges against people. We hold all our miseries, all our failures, like those glasses, we hold them in our heart and our heart becomes heavy. Just let go. Write those things on a paper and burn it. Or speak out to somebody and let go. And you will become light. You can become happy. So, with a reasonable degree of acceptance, that whatever comes in my life, I accept it. Whatever I have, I make the best of it. And I go ahead. When we think like this, then we can be happy. Video. There's a beautiful video. This is a beautiful video about positive attitude. It's okay. You don't need the volume. Let them see it. It's a very beautiful video which shows the power of positive attitude. Can keep the mic. There's this poor boy who has broken slippers and he sees this boy. Can put it from the pen drive, Gandharik? He sees this boy who has very fancy shoes and he's eyeing those shoes. And then this boy, he's getting into a train, the rich boy. Can see what happens. Thoda aage kar. So this ट्रेन में जा रहा है वो डाल, थोड़ा आगे कर। नाउ दिस बॉय इज गेटिंग इनटू द ट्रेन, सी दिस बॉय इज लुकिंग एट हिज शूज। Beautiful. So this shows that even in our suffering, if we are having the right consciousness, we can help others. No? So contrary to what we think, our happiness doesn't depend on what we have, what we get, what we achieve, or how people respond to us. Our happiness depends on our attitude. So happiness depends more on the inward disposition of mind rather than the outward circumstances. Next. So in other words, friends, we are responsible for our own happiness. Next. Some people pursue happiness, whereas others create it. We have the power to create our own happiness. We don't have to be dependent on anything or anyone else to make us happy. Next. That is why the title of my lecture today is Happy as You Please. You can be as happy as you want to be. Nobody else can do it for you. So happiness is a decision. You are as happy as you decide to be. Now you may decide, we may decide, I want to be happy. But then how do we make this possible? So there are some simple practices that we follow in order to be happy. The first one is gratitude. We know that there are a lot of people, we have seen quite a few people who have practically everything that it needs to be happy, but they are still not happy because they want something else. Why? Because they are not grateful. So, next. Happiness will never come to those who don't appreciate what they already have. If we are not grateful for what we have now, then even if we get more things, we will still not be grateful. And till we are not grateful, we will not be happy. So, there are people who have misfortune and yet they are happy. They radiate happiness. Why? Because they are grateful. Next. Why is that? Because gratitude turns what we have into enough. I was reading one message about one man. He was traveling in a train, some place where there's dire poverty, and he had a sandwich which he was eating. and he saw a very poor man in front of him. So he offered that half-eaten sandwich to him. Said, take it. So that man said, no, we can share it. Means he was getting that half sandwich, but even in that, he thought of sharing it with that person who was giving it to him. Why? Because when that person offered to help him, that he was overwhelmed with gratitude. Wo gratitude se hi uska pet bhar gaya. He didn't even need to eat that sandwich. So gratitude actually turns what we have into enough. Next. It is not the happiness that makes us grateful. You cannot say, how can I be grateful? I don't have anything to be happy about. I don't have good looks. I am not very intelligent. I don't have a lot of money. I am not famous. I don't have power. What do I have to be grateful about? But it's not that way. When we are grateful, then we become happy. It's not that when we are happy, we become grateful. Gratitude makes us happy. Next. So happiness comes when we stop complaining about the troubles we have and say thanks to God for the troubles we don't have. There is one Christian quote that I complained that I had no shoes till I saw a boy who had no legs. There is one song which I had heard when I was a young girl. Duniya mein kitna gum hai, mera gum kitna kam hai. Auron ka gum dekha to main apna gum bhool gaya. Actually, if we are sensitive to what is happening around us, if we observe others, when we see that others are suffering, see that boy was sensitive. He could have started complaining, crying, cribbing, but he was sensitive and he was alert. He immediately took the right decision, he threw the shoe, so at least somebody else could use it. Right? So, there is another beautiful video. I just love this video. Next. You can directly play it maybe. So the happiness or the satisfaction that one feels after helping someone far exceeds the happiness after acquiring something. Next slide. So remember that the happiest people are not those who are getting more, but those who are giving more. This is the secret to happiness. We don't have to have a lot in order to help others. Next. We can just share what we have. Offering others, Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath, Shishi Gaur Nitai, Shishi Gopal Ji Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. We have to just share what we have with others, or we can just give ourselves to others. We can help people directly. So Indian culture is all about helping others. Indian culture was always about giving. Atithi deva bhava. Somebody comes, we give whatever we have to them and we can remain hungry. Helping others, giving in charity. So our culture is about giving others. Next video. The girl whom he was helping has joined school. So what does he get? What does he receive? Emotions. Reciprocation from those whom he has helped. And that is what brings real happiness. So there are so many people like this. We hear so many inspiring stories who are helping others. They have problems sometimes themselves. But instead of complaining about their problems, they seek solutions not only for their problems, but for others and for the community as large. There is a very outstanding personality called Sindhutai Sapkal. Many of you may have heard, you can go on the net and read about her, we don't have time. But amazing personality. She went through so many troubles, but she did not give up. She did not commit suicide. Rather, she is a source of strength and shelter for thousands of destitute children today. So evolved souls, those who are really evolved, they transcend their problems and they help others. And that gives them a different level of happiness. Next. The love of a family. What can give more happiness than the family? It has been researched that anybody, whatever they may have, but if they don't have good, meaningful relationships, they cannot be happy. Friends, friendship, relationship. When you are drowning in an ocean of sorrow, these two ships can carry you to the shore. Relationships with family, with friends, and with whoever. So when we are down, who helps us? Our family. Right? There's so much research done on this. Go next. Our parents. Parents were the only ones who were obligated to love you. From the rest of the world, you have to earn it. Right? Outside to earn that love, respect, you have to work hard. But our family gives that love freely. So that is what brings happiness. The love of a life is life's greatest blessing. Next. What is it that relationships do for us? One of the best feelings in the world is knowing that your presence and your absence both mean something to someone. That you mean something to someone. That is what makes you happy. Otherwise, there are people who have so much money, but they are suspicious. They don't allow people to come close to them. They feel, aray, ye mera paisa hadapne aaya hai. and then they are lonely and they cannot be happy. Now what has happened is, in the age of technology and gadgets, many a times these relationships are neglected. I was hearing a talk, very beautiful talk, in which the lady talks and tells how we are connected but we are alone. You put 5 teenagers in a room, they are together alone. Why? They are together but they are all sitting with their mobile phones. They can talk to each other but they'll WhatsApp even though they are in the same room. Why? We want connection, not conversation. Because conversation ko hum rok nahi sakte. Connection ko hum jab chahiye tod sakte. We can delete, we can add, we can cut, we can connect. So whereas on relationships we are not in control. So now gadgets are taking over relationships. And if we do that, we will miss out on something very, very valuable in our life. So we have to make sure that we don't neglect the most important thing in our life. Those are relationships. It is said that in earlier days, people loved people and used things. But unfortunately, now people love things and use people. You are sitting in front of the TV and a guest comes, a relative comes. What a look that person will get. Unwanted person. So it's become like that. It's sad, but it's become like that. That's one of the, it could be one of the main reasons why people are unhappy. There's a very beautiful quote by Helen Keller, where she says that walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light. Friends are very, very valuable. Our Guru Maharaj, he makes a very, very, very important, he has a very nice realization. He says that you can know how wealthy a person is by counting how many things that person has that money cannot buy. You cannot find out how wealthy a person is by counting his assets. How many things does he have that money cannot buy? And what are those? Relationships, love, blessings which you get when you serve others, and so on. Next. So when we have relationships, we have love. When we have a service attitude, we get blessings and satisfaction. When we have good habits, I could not discuss in detail, we don't have so much time. But when we have good habits, like doing exercise, doing pranayama, so on and so forth, then we will have good health. And when we have a positive attitude, we will have good mental health. Today, mental disease is more prevalent than even physical disease. And when we have all these things, then the sum total of all this is happiness. So we have to have happy habits so that we can be happy. Next. We value relationships and friends. We be grateful and appreciate what we have. We show a positive attitude. We practice forgiveness. We engage in meaningful activities. And to do this, as I mentioned earlier, to be wise, to know the difference between what we can change and what we can't. What do we need to do? This is what we need to do. Reading good books, hearing inspiring talks, meeting good people, and practicing simple acts of giving. Each point by itself is a lecture. Obviously, we don't have time to elaborate each one. But just think that all these things, if we do, we can be happy. And we have a person who had so much foresight, and that is Srila Prabhupada. This is the 50th year of Srila Prabhupada, our Param Guru, going to America and starting preaching in the West. Because he had so much compassion. He was given an order by his guru that go to the West and preach in the English language. He went at the age of 70. He had only 40 rupees in his pocket and he didn't know where he is going to go, where he is going to stay, what he is going to eat, nothing. Just faith and compassion took him to the US. Prabhupada went to the US. Next video. Prabhupada used to say one thing. He said, I don't know whether I can perform miracles, but this one miracle I have performed. I have transformed hippies into happies. Who were the hippies? They were rich American kids who had everything and yet they were not happy. So they were turning to drugs, they were turning to illicit sex to become happy, but still they were not happy. Prabhupada came, gave them Krishna consciousness and made them happy. We can see.
So much so that they considered the Hare Krishna to be the hippie religion at this point in 1967 in San Francisco. So many hippies were in love with Prabhupada and in love with the devotees and considered themselves very much a part of Hare Krishna.
They did a lot of singing in the park, and so I used to come down, help out, and sing along too. I had been singing Hare Krishna since 63, and it seemed to me that almost as if reinforcements had arrived.
So when Prabhupada went to the West, he didn't have any followers there. But he had so much faith and he had gone there to give them what they did not have. The secret to real happiness. Because all the things that we get outside, food, clothes, money, they are superficial. How do we get happiness from within? That is what Prabhupada went to give them. And Prabhupada gave all of us this, the secret. He gave us a package deal. Earlier page. He gave us a package deal in which we get all the things that we discussed earlier. He gave us such a wonderful association of devotees so that we can build nice relationships. We can have meaningful relationships. We can have prasad together. We can confide in each other, reveal our hearts to each other. We can exchange gifts with each other and increase our love for each other. He gave us prasad. For health, he gave us prasad. He gave us dancing kirtan so that we can remain healthy. For our mental health, he gave us chanting of the holy name. Because mantra helps us to control the mind. He wrote so many books. At that age, he would remain awake at night and translate the books into English so that the common man can read them. At night he would remain awake. He stayed awake for us. He gave us so many books. He gave so many lectures and the legacy is continuing even today. There's so much that we can hear, there's so much that we can read, so that we can actually know the secret to becoming happy. We can actually become happy. He gave us an opportunity for service. Once Prabhupada saw that there was a heap of rubbish outside the Mayapur temple, and there was some food leftovers, and there were some boys trying to take that food, and dogs were fighting for that food. So those boys, those urchin boys, they were actually fighting with the dogs. There's so much poverty in Bengal. So Prabhupada cried. He said, within 1 kilometer radius, or I don't know the exact number, of our temple, nobody should go hungry. So that's how prasadam distribution began. And today, our ISKCON temple, especially our temple, is doing amazing, amazing service. Thousands and thousands of children are getting wonderful, nutritious Krishna prasadam. So this is all because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So we have to be grateful to Prabhupada. And how can we show our gratitude to Prabhupada for what he has given us? That if we just follow these simple principles and just do these things, they are very simple. Eating prasad is simple. Calling others to eat prasad is simple. Chanting, hearing, it's a very blissful process. But believe me, by doing this, you can really be happy. There will be difficulties, but when you follow this process, you can actually transcend those difficulties. You can go beyond these difficulties and be happy. And we can express our gratitude for what we have got by sharing this beautiful gift of Krishna consciousness with those whom we love. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Last picture. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has come to give us Krishna consciousness. What was not easily available, now he has made easily available. So let us benefit, let us with our arms open accept what he is giving us, and that is love for Krishna. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mataji. It was really super presentation, isn't it? We are really thankful to you. Let us thank Mataji by loudly chanting 3 times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. First few announcements. First of all, I would like to welcome all those girls who have come for Chetna very first time. Can you just stand on your own, please? Yeah, can you just stand up? Hare Krishna. We would like to welcome them in our traditional style by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. We pray at lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ji that today's day be an auspicious beginning in your Krishna.